Blog Talk Radio.
This is a Private Officer Beat Radio with Rick McCann at the microphone. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Private Officer Beat Radio, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, and Private Officer International, February the 5th. Yep, we have moved into a whole brand new month, 2024, of course. We have a lot of things to talk about today, as always, and of course, a lot of breaking news happening across the country. I'll be introducing you today to a couple of great events that we've got planned. We'll talk a little bit more about the cold case unit that I introduced you to last week on the program and talk a little bit more about how that's progressing and how you can get involved. And coming up, of course, today, we're going to be talking a lot about what's happening across our country, what's happening in the crime world, what's happening to law enforcement and security officers, and how we, you know, can start thinking differently about the job that we provide. And a lot of people still just take it as a job, like they're working at Walmart or convenience store or some other type of service position. But being a security officer or a private law enforcement officer is definitely much different and obviously much more risky. Unfortunately, once again, this past month in January, we had a number of security officers killed, but we also had a number of security officers arrested for the use of force. And then one of the other things that we have seen really increase substantially since COVID, and I don't know how to reverse this. We've talked to security companies, we've talked to law enforcement, but a substantial, and I do mean substantial, increase of unlicensed security officers, people that know they should obtain a license to operate as a security officer or even a security company, but don't. Not only do I see this in the regulatory states where our school, Armor College, does training, which is quite a few, but I'm seeing it in our news that we gather every day, more than 3,000 news sites that we monitor, more and more situations where unlicensed security officers have unfortunately been hired, or even unlicensed security companies have been hired, and they have, instead of lying low, they have used force, they have killed people, they have done all sorts of things. Yes, it's true that police officers who go through a lot of training and are certified by their state often, you know, find themselves on the wrong side of the law as well as licensed security officers. And remember, you know, and I have to bring this up quite a bit, there are still states, quite a few of them actually, where there's no training required or no license, and some states where a license is required but no training. It doesn't make sense, does it? We're finding that as security officers are entering fields, areas where private security really wasn't used that much, they're now being put into positions of patrolling parks and city properties and large residential communities and responding to all sorts of calls. And really, they're having to make those quick decisions, those split-second decisions without a lot of training, without a lot of experience, without a lot of knowledge. And sometimes it's a do-or-die situation, and they make the wrong choice. You know, it's kind of a two-edged sword. In one way, you know, the security officer, even when licensed, may have some limited training, and maybe even works for a great company who really stays on top of them, supervises them, and maybe even provides some extra alternative training. But they still make bad choices, and that's really, it comes down to training, experience, you know, a lot of things can happen out there, and sometimes not everyone is perfect, obviously, and every situation is different. That's why I frequently talk about in my training and when I do live events, I wasn't there, and I can't make a judgment call. I don't know what he thought, what he saw, what he felt, or why he responded or she responded the way that she did. But when I come back, I'm going to talk about a couple of folks who have been convicted recently for the murder of security officers and how that plays into our cold case unit, as well as, unfortunately, several security officers in the past 10 days or so have been found guilty of murder and sentenced to long prison terms. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector. We will be right back.
My name is Melissa Kinsey, and I'm with the YMCA of Lincoln. Drowning can happen in an instant. Your kids need to be safe not only in the swimming pool, but at the lake, and even in the bathtub. So what you can do to keep your kids safe is to supervise them. Put down the phone, put down the book, and sit and watch. Sit and play. Put your swimming suit on, and make sure that your kids are always in view, and they will have a great summer.
Human trafficking is slavery.
And it happens all over America.
Any child, any woman, any man could potentially become a victim of human trafficking.
I am a victim of labor trafficking.
I was victim of child sex trafficking, but now I own my body.
Human trafficking is any kind of forced labor.
It can happen to anybody.
I am a mother.
I am an author.
I am a son.
I'm an advocate.
I am an educator.
I'm a sister.
I am a brother.
I'm so much more than what happened to me.
I am strong.
I am brave.
I am outspoken.
I am compassionate.
I am a survivor.
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 I am a survivor of human trafficking.
Just last week in Houston, Texas, an unlicensed person who was working as a security guard in Houston, Texas, fatally shot a customer for paying with the counterfeit money. This actually occurred in December, but he was arrested in Pasadena last week by Houston police. According to law enforcement, they responded first to the Memorial Hermann Southwest Hospital for a call of a person who had been shot and dropped off. The wounded victim was identified as 30-year-old Eric Collin. Police this past week arrested Hugo Daniel Dominguez, 25, and charged him with murder. He's being held without bond currently. He was an unlicensed individual who was working as a security officer at a Mexican Grill restaurant in the South Loop in Houston. Some type of confrontation ensued after it was alleged that the victim had used counterfeit money to pay for his meal. Of course, there's no documentation that happened, and even if it had, the security, unlicensed security officer, even a licensed security officer, might have been able to detain the person and call law enforcement. How it got escalated to a use of force is, you know, one of those situations that's going to have to be hashed out in court. Unfortunately, on the other end of the spectrum, a Baltimore, Maryland security officer, and we reported this when it first happened on that same day, actually, has received 60-year prison sentence for killing a man at a convenience store, the Royal Farms convenience store in Southwest Baltimore. According to authorities, Kenesha Spence, who was charged with second-degree murder and the use of a firearm during the commission of violence, had no reason whatsoever to use force, and especially not lethal force. She received 40 years in prison for that second-degree murder charge and 20 years enhancement for having a firearm during the commission of a violent crime. The state's attorney said there was no justification. Police detectives said there was no reason for force. She did say she apologized. She has small children. But unfortunately now, those small children will grow up without a mother. A security officer this past week was also found guilty of manslaughter in a shooting that happened 3 years ago. The person actually fled out of the country. Police finally got him and he went to trial last week. Police say that this situation happened at a nightclub. Jose Fernandez now faces 20 years in prison. There was no mention as to whether he was licensed or not licensed. We can assume that he may have been because it happened in Florida. Across the country, we're seeing more and more of these situations arise. I really do believe that it's up to us. It's up to the industry to police ourselves. Now, in some jurisdictions, police do a very good job of policing themselves. And others, they don't, just like with private security. We are seeing, and I just spoke with another reporter during an interview last week, we are seeing some states stand up and take notice of the use of force incidents, the increase of the use of force incidents, the lack of training, and how security is being used today. During the pandemic, and even after the pandemic, we mentioned on the radio program and in our news media sources that security companies, contract security companies, were being used as correction officers at more than several state and local facilities, detention centers, because they couldn't hire enough detention officers or correction officers, so they turned to another source of manpower, and that was private security. These security contract officers had no experience, had not graduated from the Correction Officer Academy, and just was not a good fit. There was a number of incidents in several of these facilities, but luckily, as far as I am aware, those detention centers, local detention centers, and state correction facilities are no longer using them. I'm not sure what to make of this, really. It's very concerning. And I would generally save this news item for the news segment that we do. But this is really extremely, extremely important. At least four security officers have been targeted off duty shortly after going off duty and murdered. According to law enforcement, three off-duty California private security officers and an off-duty Ohio security officer has been murdered. And that's just during the month of January. Police in California and Ohio are investigating. And in one murder, Montgomery, Ohio Sheriff's Department said they're 100% convinced this was a targeted murder and that somebody waited for him to come outside from his job, from his work as a security officer and killed him the moment that he got into his car. We have mentioned this in our news products. We've sent out alerts. But unfortunately, just this past week, another attempt on a security officer's life right after leaving work. No doubt you may remember, if you're a longtime listener or if you have gotten our newsletters in the past, we had a similar situation about 5 or 6 years ago. I believe there was like 7 or 8 security officers at that time that were targeted after getting off duty. Some were directly connected to the work One off-duty security officer just left work, got home, and was murdered. But in that case, it was a domestic situation where the wife had actually set him up to be killed. Terrible. Can you imagine with hundreds of thousands, even more than a million security officers across the country, the violence that they are every day facing, but with little mention in the media, with little follow-up by law enforcement or even their employers? Someone that I know quite well was involved in a gun battle, a literal gun battle at a bank during a robbery. And he killed a bank robber, and he was targeted by gangs. And he had to go deep undercover, deep out of, you know, out of existence, him and his family. And thankfully, it all kind of blew over, and now he's doing quite well. But these things are not new. These things haven't just begun happening. They've been going on for quite a while. When I come back, I'm going to talk about the cold case unit as well as recognizing the good that we do. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector. We'll be right back. Across the country, there's a new 3-digit emergency number if you're feeling suicidal, if you're experiencing a life crisis. 988 is now the 3 digits that you can dial, just like 911 across the country. You'll connect with mental health professionals, and the 988 number will connect you with the Crisis Lifeline, formerly known as the National Suicide Prevention Line. Veterans can press 1 after dialing 988 to connect directly to the Veterans Crisis Lifeline, which serves our nation's veterans, service members, National Guard, and Reserve members, and those who support them. For text, veterans should continue to text the Veterans Crisis Lifeline, short code 838-255. Too many people experience suicidal crisis or mental health-related distress without the support and care that they need. But you're not alone. Simply pick up the phone and dial or text 988. Someone will answer that phone who is caring, understanding, and there to help you. 988. There is hope. Are you looking for the finest private security officer training in the Charlotte metropolitan area? Do you need PPS qualifications in armed or unarmed training? Or maybe you're over there across the line in South Carolina and you need the SLED training. Well, we've got the right training at the right time for you. Premier Training Academy, located at 5624 Executive Center Drive, Suite 142 in metropolitan Charlotte, North Carolina. Give them a call today, 704-806-4933. They also offer firearms training, personal protection, first aid and CPR, and so much more. Call John at 704-806-4933. Two school security and a school resource officer is being honored for saving students' lives. In Chicago, two Chicago school system security officers found a young child unconscious, had been choking evidently in a hallway as people passed by. The two security officers immediately began life-saving measures, and they were able to get her breathing. And guess what? The student is doing fine. In Union County, North Carolina, this is just on the outskirts of where our corporate office is, outside of Charlotte, a North Union County school resource officer also helped save a life during a medical emergency. A Weddington High School student frantically ran up to Union County Sheriff's Deputy Christopher Byram while in the school's cafeteria and was holding and pointing at his throat. According to the Sheriff's Department, Byram realized the student was choking on something he had eaten and immediately jumped into action, spun the teenager around, yanked his backpack off from him, and started giving him abdominal thrust and the Heimlich maneuver. Weddington High School principal Dr. Jeff Crichton said the student now is doing great. If it hadn't been for the quick actions of Deputy Byram, we don't know that student would be here. The principal said the student is really also an excellent student. Everything just worked out for the good, and we're praising Deputy Christopher Byram, and we've also recommended him to the American Red Cross for a life-saving medal, and we also will be issuing him a life-saving medal. Four law enforcement officers in Gulfport, Mississippi was recognized this past week with awards for aiding citizens and coming to the aid of private security officers on several different occasions. I don't have their names in front of me, although I did sign their award certificates, but we'll get that to you. We'll also have some pictures posted up within the next few days on our social media. Remember, you can elect for anyone to be awarded. If you know of somebody who deserves to be recognized, go to our website at privateofficer.org. There's a link there under the awards that you can nominate someone. It doesn't cost you anything at all. You can also send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Tell us who, what, where, when, how, what was involved, and we will be gladly not only to issue a certificate, but to recognize them across our social media and even send out a local press release to their local media. Over the last few weeks, I have been talking about the cold case unit, something that we have had. We've worked with Crime Stoppers, several security companies, one that's no longer in business, unfortunately, and local law enforcement as well, in a number of cases throughout the year. We've added cold case investigators who, what they basically do is research. And many, some police agencies across the country have also hired civilian and retired law enforcement to aid in cold case investigations. There's a lot of legwork that has to be done, a lot of research, a lot of stuff that can be done on the computer, going through someone's social media, also contacting the family or the victim if they're still alive and talking with them, getting other details. As we announced a few weeks ago, we are going to not only investigate homicides of private security and private law enforcement, but we're also going to help to track down possible suspects in aggravated assaults and where security officers have been shot or gravely injured. We need you. We need your support financially, and we need you to want to be part of the cold case unit. All that it takes, and this is the best part, really, you don't need any experience. All that it takes is someone who is dedicated, someone who is willing to learn, someone who is going to follow directions. We will help you to understand what the job entails. We'll help you to make some contacts. We're going to be working with you. It's a joint effort between a number of cold case unit investigators, myself, and others. And so we're all going to be working as a team. You're not going to be on your own. No experience, we will get you to the point where you'll be able to do that research. And unfortunately, we just don't have enough people who want to be involved in all of the things that we have going on here at Private Officer International. And I really do believe that's a shame. Want to know more? Want to get involved? Contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com. And we're also going to be having an introduction conference call coming up in the next week or so. We're going to send out invites as soon as we get a date confirmed, and hopefully you'll be there. Helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Hey everyone, you're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now don't go away, because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Life is precious. Ask any of these people. They've been given a second chance at life through organ and tissue donation. But there are more than 84,000 Americans waiting for life-saving transplants. 17 people die every day waiting. I didn't know this until I lost my best friend, Lyric. She gave the gift of life to 5 people. That's why I've become an organ donor, too. One decision saves so many lives. Donate life.
Each day, those that protect and service in law enforcement put their lives on the line. These law enforcement officers often work long and irregular hours in tough and dangerous conditions, run a high risk of being attacked, wounded, or even killed by the very criminals that prey on us. Every year, hundreds of law enforcement officers are killed or seriously injured in the line of duty. Blue Alert is a system that provides the means to speed the apprehension of violent criminals who kill or seriously injure local, state, or federal law enforcement officers. Find out how you can truly help those who help. That's BlueAlert.us.
Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Whether you're looking for the top quality protective armor or protective clothing, stab-resistant vest or gloves, contact my friend Ben over at Body Armor USA. Give him a call, 516 area code, 817-1666. Again, that's area code 516-817-1666. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. No doubt about it. Remember that you can read our breaking news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from wherever you're at no cost whatsoever. You can go to privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. We have mentioned in recent months and years that many people, not even affiliated with the private security industry, often read our news blog. And how do we know that? Well, because of the comments that they leave both on the blog as well as by email. Some are regulatory folks, some are law enforcement, some are everyday citizens. We can't post every news article that relates to private security. We'd be here all day just blogging out. And, I wish that we had that money. I wish that folks would donate to help us, but unfortunately we don't. So we try to post a variety, and definitely the most important topics, like security officers being injured, carjacked, killed, or making a good arrest, or whatever it might be, along with our partners in law enforcement. Remember, 24 hours a day, you can also listen to all of our radio shows. You can go back to the first one, and we still have them all in that library where you can go and listen to the ones from 2018 or 2020 or whenever. We have kept them purposely, because there's still a lot of valuable information and training that can be used today. Of course, you can also check out our social media, facebook.com/privateofficer. Same thing on Twitter, our two most prominent social media sites, twitter.com/privateofficer. And there, a lot of folks are sharing the news and getting the news out for us, and we really, really do appreciate that as well. In the news this week, coming out of Washington, D.C., a security officer was beaten and robbed in Georgetown, which is an upscale area of the district, in the 3200 block of P Street. Police were unable to confirm the extent of the injuries. The security officer was disarmed and he was taken to a hospital. Police still are investigating that, according to a recent post. We want to recognize a school security officer in Covington, Kentucky, Marcus Behanen. He saved a child who was choking. He says he was just doing his job, but we are not only recognizing him, but we are sending him an award. A man has been arrested in Bridgeport, Connecticut, after assaulting a security officer and a bar owner. Police responded to the rum and tequila bar on State Street for a disturbance that involved the gun. Police said that the man assaulted them after he refused to leave. Police did recover the gun with 17 rounds in it. He's held on $110,000 bond for criminal trespass, disorderly conduct, reckless endangerment, assault, and other charges, including breach of peace. Reported in the last week, a security officer in Edmonton, this was in Canada, was accused of a shooting that happened at City Hall. The security officer is being held on no bond, made his first appearance. He is facing six criminal charges, including reckless discharge of a firearm, placing or throwing an explosive substance, arson, possession of an incendiary device, using a firearm in the commission of a felony. There really isn't a lot of details here. I don't know what caused it, but certainly this is concerning. It happens in the U.S. It happens in Canada, U.K., and across the world. Unfortunately, everything that security officers experience in the U.S., whether that be attacks and assaults, shootings, use of force incidents, or on the opposite side of the road, they themselves are involved in criminal acts we find happening worldwide. A father and son is under arrest after attacking mall security and other employees at the Central Mall. Daniel Lynn Thomas was confronted by security and mall employees after his son was involved in an incident. A female mall security officer reported to police she asked the teens to leave because they were horse playing with a stroller and causing a disturbance. That's when the dad got involved. He didn't like that. He assaulted the security officer and another employee of the mall. A South Carolina security guard, a contract security guard, has now been the fifth security officer arrested in Richland County, Columbia, South Carolina. 23-year-old Zara Watson was arrested for possession of marijuana and for introducing it into a detention center. According to the Sheriff's Department, they've made a number of arrests in recent months and will continue to do so. A man has been sentenced in the murder of a Quick Trip security officer. Leroy Monzel West was convicted of first-degree murder of 39-year-old Will Robinson, who was working security at the Quick Trip. Now, the suspect, West, has been sentenced to prison and is going to be serving 40 years. Police in Georgia say a Georgia State Trooper was killed in a crash in a line of duty. State Trooper said that he was involved in a crash. According to authorities, he leaves behind a family. A Milwaukee security officer was killed in a triple shooting. This happened at a nightclub and hotel. The 26-year-old security officer was working when he was involved in a confrontation. Police have now made an arrest in that. A man was arrested for shooting, threatening to shoot a Children's Hospital security officer. This happened in Edinburgh, Texas. Moses Rodriguez was charged with terroristic threat, assault on a peace officer, resisting arrest, evading arrest, possession of marijuana, possession of controlled substance, and failed to identify himself as well. A man has been arrested after fleeing during a shoplifting incident and leaving behind a baby at a Walmart. 22-year-old Alganin Muhammad was arrested after the incident. A Milwaukee hospital security officer was stabbed. Authorities responded to the hospital. An arrest was made in that case. A female has been charged in the stabbing of another security officer. This one happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Savannah Talley is charged with assault with a deadly weapon and assault and battery in an incident after a fight broke out, according to police. In Greenville, South Carolina, school security officers, a private school, saw a man lurking around trying doors, trying to get into the campus. They immediately secured all doors and sounded the alarm, calling police as well. Police were able to make an arrest in that case and charge them for trespassing on school grounds. A security officer shot an armed man in Albuquerque before police shot and killed that armed man as well. The suspect is now dead. There was a shooting, according to police, at the Love's truck stop. While police were on the way, the man pointed a gun at a security officer and he returned fire. When police arrived, the man still had the gun and refused to drop it. Police fired on him several times and he died. A New York school security officer and his brother faced more than 130 charges over explosives, weapons, and a hit list. According to police, Andrew Havigalis, 39, and Angelo Havigalis, 51, were arrested on warrants that were served at their apartment, their mother's apartment, actually. Homeland Security, NYPD, and State Police were all involved. They have a hit list. According to police, the security officer worked at the Great Neck Public School System. He had passed a full background by an independent investigation firm. He also did drug tests and had no problems at the job site. Both he and his brother are currently being held in custody. A smash and grab robbery happened at the Carolina Place Mall in Pineville, which is a subdivision of Charlotte, North Carolina. Security chased after the man. Police arrived. The suspect has not yet been arrested. Sadly, we've told you this story before. A former Baltimore security guard has been sentenced to 60 years in prison after shooting and killing a man during a confrontation. She had no legal right to use force, and definitely not lethal force. Unfortunately, now her children is without a mother. A deputy sheriff in Florida has reportedly committed suicide while on the job. Paul Robitelli, 56, was working at his job. According to the sheriff's department, this was in Seabreak, Florida. He went out on a break and he never came back. He killed himself with a service weapon. According to police in Tacoma, heavily armed security officers used tear gas and other force at a detention center, an ICE detention center. After an investigation, it appears that the armed security contract officers used the force that is allowed by the federal contract. An unlicensed man who was working as a security guard, we told you about this earlier was arrested. KCMO, Kansas City, Missouri, hospital security officer was disarmed and shot. This happened Friday morning. Police responded to the hospital. The initial report indicated that the hospital security officer was shot while escorting a patient out of the hospital. The patient was able to disarm the security officer and fired one round. The guard, security guard, was struck by the discharge. He has non-life-threatening injuries, and the man has been taken into custody. A woman in Victorville, California, has been arrested and charged with running over a security officer in San Bernardino, According to Victorville police, officers responded to the Victor Valley Global Medical Center. Hospital staff there said the suspect, who was driving a Toyota, tried to run over a security officer and tried to hit him several times. Police got her into custody, and she's currently on a $100,000 bond. It's very risky and dangerous out there. That you can be certain of. A security officer was cut by a burglary suspect in Kensington, Maryland. Fernando Calix, 38, and Christian Alexander Gonzalez, 18, have both been arrested in that case. It started off as a robbery or a theft with a weapon at a Safeway grocery store in Montgomery County. Police responded, and along with the security officer, they got that those people into custody. Also coming out of Plum, Pennsylvania. Yeah, I've never heard of Plum, Pennsylvania, but it's a place. The school district has decided to expand its police force. They're now adding extra police officers, including retired officers. They're paying $28 an hour, and they're still looking to hire some more officers. So if you live in Plum or you want to move to Plum, contact the Plum School District. Remember, we're here to educate and inform. So if you see news happening anyplace that you think we might be interested in, send it to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We'll be right back.
Cops are cracking down on seatbelt violations. Buckle up day and night or expect a ticket. It doesn't matter who you are or where you live, they'll be on the lookout. Cops write tickets to save lives. Click it for ticket.
There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and it got both of my legs. Had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
Numerous times about the changing, ever-changing field of private security and even law enforcement. What worked 50 years ago, 30 years ago, or even 5 years ago isn't working today. Many new areas of private security has opened up. We're talking about more and more companies diversifying from uniform security to intelligence, real-time analyzing of crime, electronic security, robotic security, drone security, and more in-depth retail investigations, and in some areas, as I've talked about for years, private law enforcement, a whole different realm of providing protection for businesses, homes, schools, churches, people, and assets. With this new evolution, with this new face of private security, there's no way for us to say good is good enough. There's no way for us to say what we've been doing and the training that we've been giving is good enough to suffice through all of these new changes, because it's not. I can tell you from traveling the country and talking to folks that they're looking at getting away from physical security, both businesses, both the customers, and the security companies themselves, and going into a more professionalized area of security. One such security operator went to drone security, not only for events and outdoor concerts and things like that, but for intelligence, using drones to protect communities. Instead of patrol, instead of somebody on a bicycle, he uses drones in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. And so far, he's been very successful at it. We have talked, Private Officer International and myself, our concept of the training going on in the U.S. for private security is just not up to par. I have for years pushed multiple different levels of training and security credentials that would identify what area of the security these people should be working in. For instance, in the EMS area, we have EMS credentials, basic EMT, emergency medical technician. They can do life-saving skills. They can do a lot, but they can't do, they can't push drugs, they can't do IVs, they can't do blood transfusions and things that paramedics could do. And so beyond that basic stage, which really is very good, but sometimes you need better than very good. You need more than just the basic. So they have what's called the EMT Advanced in many areas across the country. And the EMT Advanced, they have more skills, more training, and they're able in many areas to start IVs. They're able to do more advanced skills to save lives. And then from there you have paramedics, EMT paramedics, in most areas recognized as EMTP. And they're allowed to do all of the basic, all of the advanced, and above that, they have higher skills, and they're able to treat patients with medication, narcotics, and various IVs and other techniques, life-saving measures, well beyond what a basic EMT might be able to do. And there's nothing with basic EMTs, because most fire departments and most ambulance services use EMT basics. In fact, some split up their service to BLS, which is basic life support, And then they have other units that are ALS, Advanced Life Support, so that if it's just a cut, you send the basic. If it's a heart attack, you send the paramedics. If it's a crash with multiple injuries, you might send both of those ambulances. And there's no reason why private security should not be working with similar credentials. One size does not fit all. And I can talk about this. I can go on forever talking about how we stick people into the job site just to say we have somebody there. We've got coverage. Okay, great. We can bill that client now. It's all about the billable hours. As long as we got 5,000 billable hours a week and we can put a body over there, we're good. We're in compliance with our agreement, with our contract. But my conscience won't allow me to do that. I want to make sure I have the right people for the right job. You would never go into a factory and see someone who has no mechanical ability, doesn't know a wrench from a screwdriver, working on assembling an airplane. It doesn't work that way. You would never see just any old buddy welding. It doesn't work that way. And you would never see just any old first aid trained person doing paramedic level skills trying to save a life. It just doesn't work that way. There's no reason why we can't say we need to change the concepts, we need to change the credentials of security so that a Class A or basic level security officer is unarmed and he might be doing special events or he might be doing access control. Certainly not at the bank with an AR-15 in his hand. He's certainly not working at a high-risk job and probably not even on a patrol job. We could have three or four levels, and that's the way that it is in Texas and Oklahoma, but that's just for training. So if you have all of the training to be an armed security officer, that doesn't mean you're top gun. It doesn't mean that you are prepared to be working at a nuclear facility. We have to change our mindset. We have to change the way that people think about hiring and providing security. We have to change a whole lot of things as this evolution continues in the private security realm. Right now, some companies are hiring intelligence analysts, security companies. And these intelligence analysts work with businesses to analyze their risk, to analyze problems that are either happening, been happening, or could be happening at their business. Hospitals use these intelligence analysts. Crime analysts have been around for quite some time for law enforcement, but now they're being used in loss prevention, in security. A few months ago on one of my radio shows about loss prevention, we talked about gathering of intelligence to see where those gangs are operating, how they're operating, and how can the store better protect themselves and prevent it from happening to them. And they've come up with a number of different devices. There are devices right now where chemical spray is used once a shoplifting occurs. Of course, we see Vestra views being put into some stores where it can lock the people down. A lot of different, because of the way that the world is going and the crime is going, a lot of different types of security is being used, not just the armed security officer, not just roving patrol, not just plainclothes LP. In fact, on my LP show coming up, we'll be talking about some stores arming loss prevention, which they've never done before. I have talked on this radio program in recent months about the Real-Time Crime Center, the RTCC used by police agencies all across the country, not only to gather intel, but they use surveillance cameras, license plate readers, facial recognition, gunshot detection, and other AI to gather intel when a crime has occurred or to prevent a crime. They gather video, license plate readers, everything that they possibly can get to prevent or solve crimes. And now, that's what we are putting together, a private-public entity. So the face of security in 1950 was much different than it was in 1970. The old night watchman from 1950 basically worked locked inside of a store or a factory or some type of warehouse or business. In 1970, you saw more and more security officers working in retail, public communities, residential apartments and condominiums. And in 2000, 2010, 2020, and now here in 2024, obviously the face of security has changed again as more and more security officers' duties are being diversified and they're being placed into positions sometimes in place of law enforcement, sometimes to enhance law enforcement type duties. And as I've talked about with private law enforcement, they are the police, not only on their property, but in their community. And wherever that particular state statute allows them to police, more than 5,500 special police officers are on duty right now in Washington, D.C. Across the country, as things change, as there are less police, as there are more crimes, you will find that many, many areas will enhance security's authority. I just read a news article this morning before I came on here about a state considering allowing security to respond to all sorts of emergencies and to be the primary responder in many situations. And so you're gonna see the face of law enforcement, the face of the responder, change considerably, and it currently is. With all of this being said, we must face the obvious. The good is not good enough. The training levels that we currently have are not adequate. I often, when I talk about this in my trainings and publicly, I often have security people and even security company owners who ask, well, who's going to pay for all this? Who's going to pay for all this? Well, when I wanted to get a degree, I paid for it. Not the government, not my family, not my friends, me, working three jobs. I've mentioned many times that nurses' aides, who barely make minimum wage, sometimes they make a little bit more, they put themselves through 120, 160 hours of training because that's what they want to do. It may be that we're faced with a situation where security officers or people who want to be security officers will have to go through college-like training or academy-like training on their own dime. And there may be some employers who may pay for it and then require you to stay working for them for a year. There are going to be, obviously, some enhanced requirements, enhanced training for the extra duties and jobs. But I can tell you in what I'm looking at across the country that being an intelligence analyst, a crime analyst, working in a real-time crime center pays quite well. And I know someone in Florida who just got a job at a real-time crime center. And she is very happy. She worked many years in loss prevention, hospital security. She got some credentials, went to school, got an associate's. She was hired with no real-time crime experience, no analyst type training, but she was hired and they provided the training and she loves it. I believe that many people who are in the private security industry today won't be there tomorrow. Those who have hung on for 15, 20, 30 years even, because they say that they're committed to the industry and they want to help people, they're not going to be around because the training requirements, the credentials, the various changes that are coming in the security field, they're not going to want to do them. You can offer free training to people every day. We have, and people don't respond. In order for us to do our job, to keep ourselves and others safe, to protect life and property, we must have those credentials. EMS, the fire service, law enforcement, anything where it involves protecting others, protecting property, they have levels of training, levels of credentials. And there's a reason for that. And I believe that security, now being given the authority, given the responsibilities that they are, need to also follow suit. Yes, that's going to increase the billable hourly rate. Yes, that's going to decrease some business because some customers, they're not going to want to pay that extra money. That's just how it goes. That's why you have basic. That's why you have advanced. That's why you have advanced plus, whatever it might be. You can put the right person or the right qualified person in that position. This won't be the end of this conversation. And as we grow our own intelligence-based business, our own private police forces, as we continue getting deeper into the new way of doing business, the new evolution, we'll be bringing you more information as well. Anyone with information that they want to share, questions that they have, contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. That's going to do it for today. We hope that you all stay safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.